Energy Stew with Peter Roth, Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And this show is going to be about three different ways that we think and process and behave in the world, different from each other. And you'll have a sense of which way is yours and what are your interests about that are contrary to someone else. And to help us do that, we're going to talk to a human design analyst, as I am as well. So Gina Concatelli is with us to talk with me, and we'll be perusing these circuits of our behavior. Hi, Gina.
Hello, Peter. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, I'm glad you're back, because we always love to talk about human design, don't we?
Yes, we do. It's always so interesting and something for everybody to learn about themselves.
And this is a system, just to help people who might not have heard previous shows that we've done. It's a system based on our birth data, but it's nothing like astrology. It uses Chinese I Ching and uses chakras, and people believe that it goes way beyond astrology into such detail about our lives and understands us. And it's also proven to be 100% accurate.
Yes, and it even though it does use the planets, that are some indicators to help us understand people, it's a very practical. It's like you can hear something in a moment about your chart and actually be able to apply that in your life. And that's what we as analysts hear a lot is, so how do I apply this to my life? So it has some very practical applications for people to understand themselves, understand the other people in their lives, and have more health and vitality. It has
right.
Many benefits and, to understanding ourselves.
And there's no mystery to it.
No, it's right there.
It's easy to figure out how to apply it in our lives. And we're going to talk about some of the main understandings of what's called circuitry in human design to understand why so many people speak different languages from each other, and even, you know, certainly in politics, economy, and social structure, there's so much going on that doesn't make sense from one person to another if you're in a different circuit, mind circuit.
Yeah, and they're actually energy patterns. So if you would think of a circuit board, it's like there's certain circuits that are turned on for some people and some circuits that aren't turned on for other people, and each of them bring their own energy pattern with them. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is the three main different energy patterns that people run, and most people have a mixture of each, but there's usually one that can be a little bit more predominant for some people. And it really does understand or helps explain why we sometimes don't understand why other people do what they do, or why they say things that they say or behave the way they say, because their circuit boards are a little different than our circuit boards.
Maybe very different.
Absolutely. So the three different ones, groups are, to give people a framework, the three different ones is the individual.
And a lot of people see themselves as individuals.
Yes, they do. And the second one is tribal, and the last one, the third one, is collective. So people that are individuals really are concerned about themselves. They like to speak a lot, and they're very unique and unusual, and their key word, something they're concerned about, is empowerment. And not that necessarily they're conscious of that, but that's what happens as they go out in the world and express their individuality, as they empower other people to also express their individuality.
Right. And a lot of people wonder, why am I so different? Why am I unique? What is it about me that can't seem to fit in with these groups and whatever. I mean, it's and yet they are so caught up in their own process of their unique thinking, their unique knowing, that they have trouble fitting in because they don't get it about these other circuits. You know, the tribal and collective circuits operate on a different purpose.
Yes, exactly. They're more concerned with the other person. They need, it's not just a one-way street with as the individual. The collective, they want to share. They want to include other people in what they're experiencing in their life. Where the individual, that's not important to them.
Well, they do want to get it out into the world what their unique strengths are. They are individuals who want to be seen. They want it. That's how they get empowered. They get empowered by people accepting what they know and how they behave in their uniqueness.
Well, and they're very creative people, and so there's a lot to, you know, give attention to, especially when they're operating as themselves and being their unique person. They're extremely creative people.
Right.
And so they do have, and they're just, even just the way that some of them, even the way they dress, you can see that is definitely an individual. I know one person that she always has a different hat on, and she's got one of her main circuits, the creative role model. So she, you know, she shows that. And she didn't know that about herself before she had her human design reading, but she always wears a different hat.
And,
so
and
it's
yet,
like her self-expression.
And yet I know an individual who always wears the same hat. Because she wants to maintain her uniqueness.
Ah.
So there are different ways that we can be creative.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
But when we think about artists, for instance, and how absorbed they are in their artwork, and we say, oh, they're so self-absorbed. But they're doing that artwork to offer it in the world. And they want to be recognized. They want to empower themselves with their artwork. So it's not like they keep it all to themselves. But they need to be absorbed in their process.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. And they also can be a bit moody and melancholy as well.
Well, not just artists, but all individuals.
Yes.
I mean, that's one of the detriments of being an individual is that it can get lonely.
Mm-hmm.
It could be frustrating, and that leads to melancholy.
That as well, and they like to talk. You know, they empower. That empowerment comes as they express themselves. I have a someone that they only have one channel defined, and that is a channel that is in the individual circuitry, and so I really just observe how important it is for them to just talk about their experience, about their life. And even though I've heard the same thing, hear them say the same thing, each time it has a little bit more fullness to it and definition. And if I didn't know that about that person, I would just say, boy, you really like to talk about yourself a lot, don't you? Which is a true statement, but it doesn't, it's not offensive. It's accepting and understanding because I know that about that person.
Right, right.
Where others might find I've heard other comments that they are a little bit off, you know, put off by this person that talks about themselves all the time.
Right, and not all individuals are that way. I mean, we can be individuals in ways that we don't talk very much.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about being absorbed in one's process. And individuals aren't always good at how to present their process into the world because they don't really understand the collective or the tribal mentalities that well.
Yes, they did. Well, it's a different circuit, so they are wired very differently, and they don't understand. I have a client that is very tribal, so tribal people are all about touching people and, you know, including other people, and let's get together and let's shake hands and I want to meet you. They're very touchy-feely people. And that's very different than an individual. And she's in a relationship with someone that's very individual. And the key word for the tribal people is support. Giving and receiving support. It's a very two-way street where the individual may not always be so two-way. It's more one-way.
Well, but we'll get into tribal. It's not so. It's not always so common to support because they also have another theme called sacrifice. And so. Because the collective is more of a sharing and more of a mutually supportive, a win-win, whereas we'll get into tribal, it often has to do with win-lose, because there's more fear, there's more ego attached, more competitiveness and aggressiveness for the tribe. It's a tribal mentality, so they're like sports fans are very tribal.
Yes.
Religions.
We're all in this together, yes.
Right. And same thing with religions, corporations, it can be anywhere where people get together and it's them against others, usually.
It's communal, like your gangs are very tribal. You know, it's
right.
Communal. It's like there's some kind of common bond. And they want to keep that bond. So I guess that's where the competitiveness comes in, too.
Right. And also the common bond has some fear attached to it that there are powers out there that could break the bond. And so often it's because tribal also has a lot of ego to it.
Mm-hmm.
Collective doesn't.
Yeah, and there's no ego in the individual, yeah.
Right. It's not about ego. It is a self-absorption, but it's not a self-absorbed ego. And people, maybe people are confused about how we use the word ego. But this is more about ego in an aggressive way. And that's why tribes always look for tribal chieftains, tribal leaders, and political parties are often tribal, or would like to be. I think the Democrats would like to be more tribal, but they don't. They're too liberal, and liberal means win-win. So and sharing, and so collective mentality is more of a liberal mentality because it says, well, we can share more.
Right, and they're looking towards the future.
Right. Whereas a tribe is immediately interested in their survival, and they want to know, they need tribal chieftains out there, for instance. And I see the Republicans are they speak tribally, and it's interesting to watch them do that.
Mm-hmm.
What the public is looking for in a Republican candidate, for instance,
mm-hmm.
is somebody who not only is an obvious member of the tribe, and they need to prove that they're members of the tribe. They sign these pledges and they do all these tribal things.
Yeah.
But they also are expected to vigorously point out enemies. They're supposed to attack the enemy.
Anything that might be a threat to the tribe.
Right. And when George W. was in power, he was speaking very tribally.
Yes.
And that's why he needed to point out which the axis of evil countries were, and then the tribal people could calm down and know, okay, now we have a tribal leader who knows the enemy, and he'll start a war.
Exactly.
And that's what they're looking for, so the more tribal leaders are willing to go to war, the more acceptance they'll have.
Yes, as long as it's in the guise of we are protecting our tribe.
Right.
We are protecting our property. We are protecting our belongings, our people.
Right. Everything against the enemy. And the theme of sacrifice means that they're willing to sacrifice anybody who's not accepted by the tribe. Even if they were a member of the tribe before, they will quickly get sacrificed if needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a powerful, very powerful approach. And that's why the Republicans, I think, are so strong in the country, because nobody can understand that. I was listening to Bill Maher the other day, and he said, well, Republican economic policy is good for 1% of the country. But somehow the other 49% that might vote for them doesn't understand that it's not good for them. You know, and so it's, you know, there's a tribal nature that people, it distorts the mind. You know, that people need that tribal leadership so much, and that tribal mentality, and it is greedy, because it's whatever the tribe will need, they'll take.
Well, I think also is, you know, people are wanting a place to belong and to feel comfortable. And so when that's being offered, we're protecting you, we're all in this together, that is a draw for people to feel
right.
that they'll be taken care of.
Right, and that's why they don't want to think about the details. That's why a lot of Republicans are not interested as much in the issues as they are in the belonging. They need to belong. Whereas collective-minded people, it's all about information and how we process information for the good of the whole, for everybody.
Yes, and it's about, you know, learning from the past and having an experience and then, you know, using that information for everyone, sharing that information with everyone.
Right, it's about sharing. And we know in human design that collective-minded people seek new experiences. They're willing to experiment. They're willing to try new ways of doing things that they can learn from so they can prosper in the future.
Yes, and the one thing that trips them up is when they go to have a new experience and expect a certain outcome.
Right. Because there's a learning curve.
It's not about success. It's about the experience of it. It's, you know, a failure is just a new discovery, you know. So I think that's
right.
Where people, when they have the understanding that that's their main circuitry that they're running, is that when they hear about, you know, have the experience but let go of the expectations.
Right,
know.
And other mentalities can't think that way.
Exactly. The tribals do not think like that at all.
Right. And so it's amazing to watch this in the world. Once you understand the difference between collective thinking and tribal thinking and speaking, it's very interesting to watch it unfold in front of us and be clear about people's mentality. And another thing is that, and as I said earlier, is that the tribe is very ego-run. In other words, they need powerful people who are willing to smote the enemy at a moment's notice.
Well, yeah, that's the warrior, the courage. I mean, when we talk mm-hmm. about ego, it's some people might have a negative connotation with that, but it's also, you know, the courage to fight, the courage to win, you know, working and you know, having some kind of drive and push. So it's ego is not necessarily always a bad thing.
Right, but then we look at somebody like Obama, who represents the collective, and the collective doesn't have a big ego, and people want Obama to have a bigger ego.
Mm-hmm.
They want him to smote the enemy. And he doesn't seem to want to do that. But that's the collective mentality, is win-win. He's always looking to see how we can win-win, how we can help everybody, including these tribal crazy people. Obviously, I'm not tribal. And I get very annoyed at this tribal mentality, but, and I'm sure a lot of us are that way.
Yeah, well, it's your ability to pick that out since you don't have much tribal in your chart. Well,
right.
You do have some.
Right, but I'm more a mixture of the individual and collective,
mm-hmm.
and I think my tribal is more about family and my my immediate and not only my immediate family, but I'm very interested in my my high school reunions and my the people in my life who have become important, and I maintain those relationships. And I think that's very tribal.
Yes. Yeah, that still has a tribal flavor to it.
Right.
But since you don't have a defined ego, that may be where you pick, can recognize that out in the world.
Yeah, and this lack of a defined ego is something that at times I can be proud of, and at times I bemoan, and I say, wow. You know, I should be out there smoting the enemy more.
To be more tribal.
Yeah, to be a little bit more aggressive in calling these shots against the bad guys and all that. And when you don't have a big ego, you don't do that the way that other people might.
Very true.
Yeah.
So would you like to talk a little bit more about the collective,
sure.
about their key word of sharing and how that shows up for people? They, they're very logical people, and they make great athletes. they're people that will do the same thing over and over and over again and perfect what it is. Whatever they're doing, whether it's their bodies or, some particular process that they do, they really just get into repeating that. And they do like to challenge authority a little bit.
Uh-huh, right. And I have a friend who's a world-class athlete who is very collective. And she's so involved with doing it right. And is very wonderful person to be around because she's so inclusive of everybody. She shares very
nicely.
She's
going to share with everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring everybody together.
Yeah, it's beautiful to see that.
They want to fix things. They want to make things better, and that shows up in how they articulate and as you're saying a professional athlete, how they with their body. And, it could show up as a mechanic or anyone that does the same thing over and over again. It's like they love that. Now, an individual may not, is not that interested in doing the same thing over and over again to perfect it. So there's a difference there where someone might, be confused as to, how can they keep doing that same thing over and over again? Let's do something different.
Yeah, individuals keep on having light bulbs go off, new light bulbs all the time, and have new ideas.
Bringing something new. Mutation is a really strong key word for them as well. They like to mutate, which means something that wasn't there before, they show up, and now it's different. And I see that with the people in my life that are individual. It's like, you sit down and have a conversation, and all this, it's just like something drops in that, an idea that just wasn't there before that totally shifts the future.
Right, right. And that's why individuals are really the hope for the future. They're our opportunity because they are constantly opening up new panoramas. And so there are so many ways that each circuit can be described in human design. It's quite elaborate. It's not just generalities. We can focus on the specifics of how absorbed we are in those circuits, each person. And as we just said about the individual always in newness and renewal and mutation, whereas the tribe is always in protection and power.
And communing and bringing it together.
Right, right. Protection through the commune. They're very, very team-oriented and hardworking. Now, tribes expect that of each other.
And they're more materialistic as well. I mean, on an individual basis, they're more concerned about, you know, making sure that everybody's all taken care of, and they have their nice things as well. They're much more concerned about that than some of the other.
And the ego plays a role in that, in materialism.
The materialism got to have our property and our, full refrigerator and
right and the power to control it all, to protect it all. So a lot of security has to do with tribal needs.
And the laws of the tribe mm-hmm. and how are we going to keep that, everybody in order?
That's also security. Yeah, the laws are all tribal. Because the collective experiments a lot. And the individual mutates a lot, and yet the tribe can't afford to do that because it wouldn't feel secure.
Yes.
So it's very hard for tribes to accept individuals or the collective, and they're willing to sacrifice, so they're willing to kill all those people. It's dangerous to be around tribes. Going to sporting games sometimes is dangerous.
Exactly.
Stadiums can erupt.
Exactly. You want to be on the winning side.
Right, exactly. That's very tribal. So I'm so glad that we've had a chance to talk about this, these circuits, and we all fit into one or another, and it can overlap a little bit. As we talked about, I have individual and some tribal and some collective, and
I have individual and some collective, but I'm mostly individual.
And so we have to learn to live with that and appreciate it. So that's why I'm glad we can talk about it, so people can appreciate ourselves and understand and be compassionate about why people are the way they are, why the tribal people do what they do and roll our eyes about it.
Well, it explains why, we sometimes have difficulties in our relationship, and blame the other person or feel like they did something wrong or we did something wrong, when you have some basic understanding of the mechanism and the energy circuits that are running with each person, it makes it much more, you're much more accepting.
Now, Gina, we're almost at the end of the show. You're out in California, and you're aligning with your design. So what does that mean?
I help people once they start to understand their design, how they can actually integrate that into their life. So my company is called Align With Your Design, and working with providing coaching services and consultations for people with using their human design.
And how can you be reached?
And you can find me. My phone number is 619-528-0892, or alignwithyourdesign.com.
And you and I can both send free charts out to people.
Yes.
And so they should contact you.
They can take a look at what their human design is and begin to understand the language for themselves and the people around them.
And you and I both would like to share human design with people more and more all the time, right?
It's a fabulous tool. I love it.
Yeah, sure is. Okay, Gina, thank you. Gina Concatelli, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Peter, I'm very grateful. Thank you so much.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening.